Well, happy day, everyone, and happy St. Patrick's Day, a special day in our Christian history and heritage, as well as a special ethnic day for those whose origins trace back to the Emerald Isle. So I've got some interesting things to say about this day, but most importantly, I want to hear from our community, because you are what this is all about. So we have a caller from area code 780, and you're on.
Hey, Glenda, it's Desmond. Good day to you.
Hey, Desmond, how are you? Gosh, I haven't heard from you in a long time.
Yeah, I know. I'm doing okay. I've been on psychiatric medication for the last 10 months, and I've been in bed a lot and sleeping like 12 hours a day and haven't been feeling like doing much exercise. So I'm just kind of hoping that I can get my medication lowered and also just find within myself the the strength to take care of myself and exercise and stuff. The medication itself, it actually inhibits dopamine and serotonin. So it's kind of like just inhibits it. So it's also been kind of hard living without the feel-good hormones.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I can imagine. Well, I just pray that you have good doctors and good health guidance. And most of all, today we will ask for the blessings of Christ to come in and give you that extra lift that you need so much.
And I want to mention that I've been reading, like I read Love Without End in the last month, and I'm on chapter 21 in the Keys of Yeshua. And I'm actually understanding my character and my personality and how to apply the truth and reality of the love that I am. I mean, I don't comprehend the love that I am, but I comprehend the love that Yeshua is more so.
That's,
I still
that's
don't fully
good start.
Comprehend. Yeah. Yeah, I've been reading the book for like 12 years and I'm still feel like I got like 10% of my comprehension not even like 5% of my comprehension of Yeshua, my relation, but I still feel that he is conscious himself. I just don't I just don't have that level of I don't know what to say, but yeah.
That's okay. That's okay. Sometimes words don't matter. But we're with you, and we embrace you with our love and blessings, and most especially, Christ embraces you with his love and blessings.
Thank
so
you.
Be well. Stay well.
Thanks,
get well, and be fabulous. Okay?
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
All right. And Stormy, you're on.
Yes. Am I on here?
You are. Loud and clear.
I've got such a good relationship with Jesus. I told the story this morning to a cashier because she said something about, well, good Lord. And I told her about how I put my hand upon his staff and says, he looked sort of bored there. At the cross truth leg, I says, how about if I try and wrestle that from you? And he says, well, come and get it. And we rolled up and down your vineyard and came back up to the top. And I says, well, you know, you've got a good grasp on that. He says, yeah, I sure do. But look what we did to Glenda's painting. We just ruined it. He says, oh, I can take care of that. But, you know, he's someone you can wrestle with for fun. Or wrestle with, you know, for the growth of your soul.
Yeah. You really can.
Just two guys, just, you know, roughhousing it, because I says, well, you've been standing there for a while. Have a, you know, want something to do?
That's good. Well, it's always good to hear from you, Stormy. And we will hold you in our hearts as we give the blessing.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Tony and Judy, I see your line is on.
Hi, Glenda. Hi. Love to you and to everybody on the call. Stormy, that's funny. I thought that was very creative. We have a beautiful full moon this week, which is going to exactly align with the equinox. And we haven't had one so closely aligned with the equinox in decades. It's been quite a while.
Really?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
I think it goes back at least 30 years, somewhere in that range. It's extremely rare to have one like right this close, exact with the time of the equinox. And
that's good to know. That's good to know. So releasing energies of harmony and balance and synergy. I love the word synergy.
Oh, yeah. Well, me too. And the sun will be conjunct within a degree to the asteroid Chiron, which is all about healing on a deep level, soul purpose, soul healing, and guidance from the larger self as well.
That
the symbol for Chiron, it's a key. The symbol's a key. So the way it speaks to me is that even our difficulties, even our suffering can be the key to our joy and the larger dimensions of our life.
So Sometimes we find our greatest realizations in moments of trial and suffering.
Yeah.
Because we can't avoid the truth when we're there. We can daydream so easily in all of our peaceful, euphoric moments, but when life gets hard, we have to face what is.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Tony. You bet. Thank you. Wonderful to connect.
Did you want to ask for a special blessing?
Nothing in particular, but just to say thank you. There's a lot of things that I'm dealing with right now that are related to learning about balance. So I'm extremely grateful for this. I think it's very resonant with the equinox. So just a blessing for the things that I'm learning and developing. That would be wonderful. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you too. Jerome, I'm opening your line and it's going to be so good to hear your voice.
Yes, the blessings with you for the light and love of Yeshua ben Yosef, and prayers for family members, Paul and Joan and Andrew. They're going through life situations, and Yeshua can help them as well as helping all the rest of us. So I just feel the spirit that you are and the spirit that I am, and I just love you, and I thank you, and keep up the good work.
Okay. Well, Jerome, my heart is always with you.
Yes, thank you for your
and your family.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And my wife, Jean, too. All right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. She's always part of the formula.
She is part of the formula, and you're a great formula, too. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Okay. We have a caller from an international caller. I think it may be Linda. You're on.
It is. Can you hear me, Glenda?
Yes, I can.
Oh, great.
New Zealand.
I've come on late to the call, so I'm sorry if anything's already been said, but of course, I know everyone's offered their prayers, and our whole country here is in great grief, and I know that the world has, like when these things happen, come together, and I just, pray for that peace and for love to change, you know, the underlying hatred and separation that we see around the world. But I know that this country, particularly that felt so isolated and safe, has woken up to the fact that, you know, it is at our doorstep as well, and we can't ignore that, you know, the world is one place, and why the City of Christ Church, especially with its name, you know, would be have to suffer another thing like this when they've only started to recover from a number of earthquakes a few years ago, and that poor city is just, you know, it's just been put through everything. Mm-hmm. So prayers for that. And I just wanted to say also, if anyone, you know, if a blessing could be said for backing or support ideas, after this happened, I had been in prayer, and I saw a clergyman on TV talk about, he was down at the mosques, and he said, you know, we're here as Team Human. And that really struck a chord with me, and I sort of had an idea of this movement of Team Human, you know, a movement around the world. Could be school kids at school, and, you know, they see someone get bullied, and they're part of, you know, a moth team, like moths go towards the light. And everywhere people like seeing people get bullied. On a bus a week ago, some lady got bullied for her headdress, and no one said anything, apparently, it was reported. But if people started standing up, you know, just everyday people, and I'm just an everyday person. So when I was in prayer in the blessing, I just sort of had asked for any sort of sign. You know, I get ideas. I never take action on them, but I really felt it was time that I couldn't sit back any longer. And as I came out of the blessing, I kid you not, in the grass field I was walking in, there were hundreds of little white moths at my feet. Now, they weren't there a few minutes before as I walked into the field with my dog, said the blessing, but as I walked out, these moths were everywhere at my feet. So I guess what I'm asking for is if I'm to take this forward, just for the opening, the support. I know nothing about forming a charity or getting an organization going, but I would just love to see, you know, some sort of loving movement where everyday people stood together on everyday things that were happening. So, yeah, that's my prayer to them.
I think that's a great, I think that is a great idea. I really do. And for everyone else who may not know where Linda is from New Zealand. And so she's referring to the massacre that occurred at the mosque in New Zealand. It reminds me a little bit of the way I felt after 9/11. We Americans had somehow felt that we were isolated from the ordinary, horrible terrors happening all over the world, and then there it was. We had been penetrated. We were no longer isolated from this contagion of disease that is going around the world. And I'm sure that the folks in New Zealand must have felt the same way, because of all the countries in the world, other than maybe Iceland, New Zealand has been one of these pristine cultures and countries that seems to have been on its own little canoe in the middle of a peaceful ocean, and having some troubles, of course, as we all do, but not really part of the terrible challenges of our changing world. And so this is going to be a plunge in cold water for everyone in your country to wake up and make some basic decisions about how you will approach life from this moment on, because you have received the notice on the door that you are no longer exempt from from this disease going around the world. And I think your idea of ordinary people standing up for other ordinary people, doing everything the best we can, is a great idea, because the worst thing that can happen is that we overreact. Yes, we do have to wake up when these things hit upon us, whether it's our community, our family, our country, our world, yes, we do have to wake up. We have to take notice. We have to perhaps take measures of a particular defense to ensure that these things do not easily happen again. But at the same time, if we alter and remove the basic goodness that was there, that was penetrated, then we have caused more damage than the assailant has caused. And so please, whatever happens to any of you, remember that our universe was created by God, and God is good. Goodness prevails and must prevail. And where we find it the most is in the hearts of ordinary people that have the courage to get on with their life and find whatever goodness they can in everyday things, everyday charity, everyday kind of love and consideration for one another. I think that's why Yeshua's final and only additional commandment was just to love your fellow man as yourself. Now, when he meant as yourself, he wasn't meaning don't be selfish. What he was really meaning was in an ordinary way. As yourself, like every day, the way you take care of yourself, you feed yourself, you wash your feet, you put on clothes, you go to work, you take care of the kids, you mow the lawn, whatever. In other words, as yourself means the way you do life. Help others do their life and get on with life, because it's in the goodness of life that we find the strength to carry on. And I know from our years of recovery in the United States, we did overreact to 9/11, and we lost some very precious freedoms and areas of confidence in the year after it. I was still traveling and doing seminars at that time, and all along the corridors to the boarding area were armed guards. It looked like a military parade inside every airport, and the waiting lines became longer, and what you could not carry on board was so limited. Things were thrown away, just in bucketfuls, barrelfuls, as you approach the boarding area. And maybe it was necessary in the beginning, but the point is, it really tarnished our spirit of genteel community faith and trust in one another. And I pray that all of these problems around the world, what we will try to do is quarantine them, the same as we would if smallpox broke out again. You know, we think we've conquered that, but every now and then there's a case of smallpox. What do? We quarantine it. We try to heal it, and then we study whatever strain of collateral disease might have allowed the recultivation of smallpox, and we restrain that until we have it contained. But we don't stop sending the kids to school. So let's continue our faith in one another. Let's continue our faith in God. Let's pray for God's help and guidance in moving through all of these horrible eruptions of social disease. They are part of building up a new level of immunity as we break into a global world. And I would like to make one very significant correlation that I hope will give you faith instead of judgment. The period in life when all of us are most prone to catch a communicable disease is in our childhood. It's in our childhood. Dr. Jerome, if you want to come back online and confirm that, I'll open your line. Because the reason why is little kids have not yet built up their immunity. That's what they're doing. This is why mommies protect their babies so carefully in the first few months of life. This is why mother's milk has elements of immunity in it to protect the newborn infant. And if the baby is not on mother's milk, we have to find other ways of supporting that immunity. And little kids are just absolutely the biggest carriers of communicable disease because they don't have that immunity. And we don't judge them. We love them. But at the same time, if I'm a little sensitive, like in my health, I've been overworking, I've been sneezing a little bit challenged in my own health. I do my grocery shopping at night when kids are not in the store. That's called quarantining. Okay? And if I have an employee who has little kids, I'll ask her to be ultra careful about washing her hands and coming to work in clean clothes. Because sure as the world, I'll catch it if I'm a little run down. There's no judgment implied. It's just a reality. Now, as a global community, we're all a bunch of little kids. It's new. Until about, I would say, 30 years ago, practically the whole world was still a collection of provincial communities. This started breaking down in the 20th century with World War I, World War II, and then the various other wars we went through. And it was all part of breaking down the provincial walls, allowing us to become united in the reality, the core reality, that we are one human family, but we have very different ways of doing things and believing in things. And sometimes these disagreements seem to violate our sovereignty. And so people who are not very stabilized or they're angry, maybe from some abuse they have suffered, will strike out and strike back. But we have to understand what this is all about. It's about building up our immunity, and we will have it, and we will collect and move toward that immunity better with less judgment, more trust in God. Hi, Jerome, I see you're back on. Your line is open.
Hi, Dr. Quacko, just about the communication with children and how it changes and how our immune system changes as we grow, but it's also a bigger thing about the spirit that we are from childhood that grows into adolescence and adulthood and then into the higher connection with Yeshua along the way. So that Yeshua connection affects our immune system. And that affects everything with what we think and say and do. So you are
absolutely
doing a job. Yeah. But it's how we connect. Yes.
Go ahead. Yes. As we grow into our maturity, we not only gain physical immunity, but we start gaining spiritual awareness and the kind of consciousness, our understanding of our faith.
Yes.
And the strength that comes from our faith, plus as we become then parents or caregivers, it gives us strength It's always been amazing to me how doctors can be around so many sick people and they stay well.
Yes.
And that's
yes.
another perfect example
yes.
that through a caring attitude, we build our immunity.
Ah, we do. And our connection with spirit and our
exactly
with light.
Exactly. So we've been given about 1,000 years now to work through this. And
okay.
we will work through it better if we retain the spirit of our childhood, not just as people, but as a nation or nationalities, the innocence of New Zealand, of Greenland, of Norway, of
yes.
whatever nation you're coming from.
Right.
It had its innocence of childhood. Retain
yes.
that innocence and then deal with the problems.
Correct.
Build your immunity. Do it with the least amount of judgment you can,
yeah.
and mostly with quarantining and therapy and care. As you learn to love one another, you will
right.
build your immunity.
Yes.
This
yes.
was actually the greatest secret of healing Yeshua ever gave us.
Yes.
And
yes.
I have noticed that when I care for someone who's sick, I don't get sick.
Ah, yes. Yes. And the extension of this will bring you to spirit of the universe, because we are connected to everything in the universe as well. Yes.
Indeed.
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 Yes.
So these are growing pains. These are
yes.
growing pains, and I'm trying to put it in a positive light
Indeed.
So that we don't overreact. We can
yeah.
become, shall we say, parental. We can take on the parental role toward these growing pains of our childhood.
Correct.
Because we are in the childhood of our global community right now.
Yes.
And there are a lot of mental, spiritual, and social illnesses
yes.
that are being dramatized.
Right.
So,
how to handle those with the light, compassion, love of our heart and spirit, and go to that and ask its direction to give us the energy to move forward. Correct.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
You are priceless,
okay.
your love, your light, your joy, and thank you for extending that to all of us on the world, but also the universe of connection with God and Spirit. Thank you, thank you. I love
you. Oh, you are so welcome, and thank you for joining in, Jerome.
Okay.
By the way, Jerome is an MD pediatrician, so that's why I called on his affirmation and confirmation of what I was saying.
Yeah.
I promise I'm going to take the two callers on our line. So Mara and Sarah, if you will just hold on for a couple of minutes, I want to finish my promise that I made today to celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
Okay.
There are a lot of legends about St. Patrick that for the most part are silly and untrue. He did not banish snakes from Ireland. And he did not use the leprechauns. We have a lot of silly beliefs that we carry forward, and they're cute and they're funny, and it's kind of nice to wear a shamrock on St. Patrick's Day. But I thought you might like to know the real glory of St. Patrick. And it started for him, coordinating with what I was just saying a moment ago, in his youth, he was the son of a fairly affluent Roman family living in Britain in the 5th century, the 400s AD. And because of that, he was a very well-educated young man. But at the age of 16, he was captured by Irish pirates and taken to Ireland to serve in the most horrible and demeaning way for 6 years. According to his own testimony, he was forced to serve without any clothes in the harshest of weather, doing the most inhumane forms of servitude, brutally beaten, and his life constantly threatened. He managed to escape, and he went back to Britain, was welcomed by his family, and regained his health. See, we're talking about a youth here again, a youth who went through this torture of growing up. He went back to his family and reunited with that reality for a while, but then he found within his heart where his greatest service in the world could be, and that was in Ireland. And he went back to Ireland to be a missionary to the Irish. The very people who had abused him, threatened his life, humiliated him, hurt him, and virtually condemned him. He went back and he served to teach them Christianity. And so he is considered to be the father of Christianity in Ireland. Now that's a great story in and of itself, but I want to tell you something even bigger than that. I'm expanding on the story, just like Jerome was saying, don't settle for the small story. Look at how big it can be. Okay, here's how big it got to be. Being a very literate man in Ireland, he brought back with him the books that he had treasured, not just the Bible, but the writings of Plato, Socrates, the great classics of Greece and Rome, and even classics from Egypt and other cultures that had been saved, that he had studied in his youth, because he was a very learned young man. He loved to read, and he brought all those books with him. Now, they were not printed on a press. There were no printing presses then. They were all hand-scribed, so you can imagine how rare and how valuable those books were. He got to Ireland and found virtually no one could read, and there were no books. So what he did is he started the first scriptorium, that is a place where he taught the Irish how to write and how to transcribe this ancient literature into multiple copies that he made available, yes, initially to educate the Irish. And that's why to this day, the Irish are very literate people. They love books and they love to write. But that's not the end of the story. As all of this was happening, Rome was falling. And not only was Rome burning, not only was the culture falling, but most of the literary works were being destroyed, thrown in the fire. I think you've probably heard, maybe one way or another, about the great fire that destroyed the library of Alexandria, the great library that stocked so many of the ancient treatises of the world, not just Egypt, but all over the world. We lost contact with the ancient world because of the books that were lost there. The same thing would have happened by the fall of Rome. We would have lost all of the classics, as well as all of the early translations of the New Testament, all of the remaining scriptures, everything. Patrick brought them all to Ireland. He had them all copied. And because of that, Western civilization was safe, literally, in terms of what we can recover historically regarding the literature, the wisdom, the connective fibers, that help us put together the pieces of the ancient world and study it. And all of these things were preserved in Ireland until Europe could emerge from its very barbaric state at that time. And then Charlemagne took over the work that Patrick had begun in Ireland by establishing universities in Europe. And Charlemagne brought over all of those classics from Ireland to then have them copied even more abundantly into works that would be the basis of all of the European universities. But this is what Patrick did that literally saved the world you hold dear. So that's a great deal more than flushing the snakes out of Ireland. And if you want to read the story about that, I would recommend a fabulous book by Thomas, let me see if I can find the order here, Thomas Cahill, I believe. I know it's Thomas. It's called How the Irish Saved Civilization. The first time I saw that being promoted, actually it was promoted in the Book of the Month Club that I used to subscribe to, and I saw that and I started to giggle and I thought, huh? The Irish saved civilization. What did they do? Send an army of leprechauns out to the world? You know, I was thinking silly thoughts like we all do. Or, you know, did they teach us to all have a lucky shamrock? I was floored when I read. He's a major historian. And not only that, he's a beautiful writer that tells about the story. And not just the story, well, the story of Patrick. So if you want to read the real story of Patrick and what he did, how he came to be the way he was, and then what happened in Ireland, get that book. And it's also available as an audio book, which I would highly recommend. It's just great listening. But I've got one more thing to add to the story. When I was compiling all of my notes for Love Without End, I received a volunteer offer from three lovely, wonderful people, Nancy French and John and Mary. And they dedicated a year of their life to help me organize all of the notes, because I had made some duplicate notes, and in some places the notes were a little different and we needed to compare and sort them out, and they transcribed everything into computer form so that we could search and compare and compile and put together. Well, in that first year that we were working, we just happened to decide to celebrate St. Patrick's Day together. And what came up is that each of us were Irish. Here we were working on Love Without End, transcribing it, putting it together, and we were all a bunch of Irish women and Irish men. And I will never forget that day. We just went into awe and wonder, and we wondered, I wonder if we were there. I wonder if we were on the original transcriptions of the New Testament, bringing them into Ireland. I mean, it was just a fabulous moment of thought. Who knows? Who knows? We didn't really have a cultivated memory, but, you know, sometimes imagination is lovely too. Well, I'm going to quickly bring on our two other callers. Mara, you're on, in case you need to ask for a blessing.
Did you call me,
Yes,
Mara?
I did.
Oh, hi.
Yes.
Well, have we got time? I am absolutely, as a very close, my ancestors are not that far back in my history from Ireland.
I figured that.
Oh, this is a wonderful story because we've never heard anything about it, ever. I just can't imagine how it ever got lost. But I had a question, but I think maybe I should save it because this is probably going to be too lengthy to go into now. And so I will just ask for blessings for all of my family and deep gratitude for we've all been going through quite a struggle in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I talked to Ellie this morning, and we were saying, and she was saying, how could we ever have managed to go through these hardships without all of the blessings that have come from the very interesting ways in different ways that each of us have been told about you. And so thank you.
You're welcome. You know, it's hard. We never know how far a small deed can go.
Mm-hmm.
We really don't.
Right.
Because it's in the hands of God, and the powers, the love, and the expansion of God is limitless.
Mm-hmm.
He could take, well, a little white moth and multiply it to communicate to Linda that her prayers were being answered.
Yes, that was a beautiful, beautiful. Her comments were just wonderful. And, maybe I'll just write my question. I heard something on TV, and it just was like it was getting a punch in the gut. And I thought, oh man, you are so unlearned, such a learned, unlearned man. And I thought, now, what am I, my first impulse was what I do. I had no way of knowing how to get a hold of this man or, you know, and tell him how wrong he was, and yet that's not my duty to do. So anyway, but Linda knew exactly what to do. And
that's great. Yes.
It's just wonderful.
So you see, we bless one another.
Yeah.
Well, Mara, we do need to move on. So, and I want to take Sarah's call very quickly.
Yeah.
So God bless you, Mara, always and forever. Sarah, you're on.
Aloha, Glenda, and this amazing,
aloha,
miraculous, aloha, beautiful community. The blessings today and the messages and the stories, just so amazing and miraculous. And I commit myself to being that force that was discussed of ordinary people loving each other. I commit to that always. And I want to I heard a story this morning of a father in the mosque who lost his baby son, and then as he was dying in his arms, he was whispering in his ear that God is sufficient, God is my protector. God is sufficient, God is my protector, and he whispered that as his son died. And I just offer that to all of us. And I want to ask for a special blessing for my godson, Caleb, who is celebrating a coming-of-age ceremony this week, and I've been asked to, along with others, give a blessing to him. And it's about this, how to retain the awe and wonder of our childhood as we come into our adulthood and our responsibility, and it's all going to be about empathy and that. And I just want to ask a special blessing for him and special blessing. My immune system right now, my physical immune system, is working really hard, and I want to ask a special blessing for all of us, for our immune systems, as we are amazing healing bodies.
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
Okay, my dear. We have you on. Everything you asked for is already on the list. So God bless you in so many ways. And I've had two people come on very quickly. So let's make it quick so we can move on to our blessing. Nancy and Gary, you're on.
Hi, Glenda. Nancy and Gary here. We just wanted to have a special blessing for, we have these three wonderful friends who are challenged right now with some pretty serious health issues, and just blessings for peace and restored health and wholeness for Mara, for Michonne, and for CK.
Okay. I've got them on the list.
Thank you. We love you.
And God bless you both, too. We love you, too. And from area code 641.
Hi, Glenda. Can you hear me?
Hi. I can.
This is Lucy, and I just want to ask for blessings for myself and for my friends in Tucson and for my friends in Fairfield, Iowa, and my family.
Okay.
That's all. Thank you.
Good. You're welcome. Oh, you are blessed. Bye-bye. And
bye-bye.
Everyone, let's get ready to receive the blessings of Christ. My favorite part. So, blessing givers, if you will stand with me, and the rest of you be seated in the most comfortable way, except don't cross your arms or legs, and preferably have your feet and head uncovered so that the energy can flow up and down from the universe through you to the earth and from the earth back through you to the universe. So here we are, and we ask with humility of spirit and gratitude of soul and openness of heart, we ask for your most sacred divine presence, Yeshua. We know that you are with us always anyway, but we ask to feel you now, to feel you in a special way so that we can open ourselves with faith and confidence and feel the healing love and energy flow through us, that our lives may be blessed for all that can come as goodness through us and from us, from God and through us, back and forth both ways. To be an ordinary person walking through this world and yet having an extraordinary effect on those around us because you walk beside us. We thank you for being with those who are sick and lonely. We ask that you be with those who are grieving and suffering from the loss in New Zealand. We know you're already there, but we ask a special blessing on this day. We ask that the whole world can know the real story of St. Patrick and understand how one person who was persecuted as a child could take that one life and change the world. He's not the only one who ever did that. He's just the one we celebrate today. We thank you for his life and for everyone who's been touched by it. Oh, Lord, we ask that you bless and heal and fill our hearts with love as we move into this next week of our life with whatever challenges we face, that we may see the bright side of the challenge and the resolution that it brings to our life, that we may live on higher ground, and that we may move beyond whatever has faced us with hardship or grief or loss. and always, that we may love one another. Amen. Let us begin. Amen. Your blessing is complete. Now go and rest and receive. Just absorb and nurture yourself with the radiant, loving energy of God. Bye-bye. Bye-bye for now. God be with you. And I'll see you next week.